It's fun to have another night in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Really impressed with our student section, and they've been the best since I've been the coach at BYU. And camping out before the games and running into the stadium like the running of the bulls and just charging and to get their seats, it's really fun. It's adding a nice element to our home game atmosphere. And I think there's areas of the program, especially Tanner and his ability to throw the football, and I thought our receivers played well. Taren Houck in particular, I liked. He, Mitch Juergens, Mitch Matthews did a nice job. So we threw and caught the ball, again, more as we had prior to the Michigan game. Really thought Francis Bernard added a nice spark in the run game. Algie was consistent throughout the game, but when we really needed to finish the game, Francis did a nice job as Algie kind of wore down with his injury. Defensively, fairly consistent. We knew that if we did a nice job containing the quarterback, that they would struggle and be inconsistent, and I think that's what happened. Return game started to improve a little bit. I'm talking kick return, and we've been working hard on that. And uncharacteristically, we didn't kick field goals as well as what we normally do, and so that was kind of a surprise. Execution, discipline, especially as we got closer to the goal line, prevented that game from being, I think, more comfortable early, but that's currently where we are and how we played. And so I was still happy with the outcome, still happy we got a win. Think our team is improving, but also obviously areas to continue to work on. I've seen East Carolina since this morning, and I'm impressed with them. I think they're a good team, and it'll be a great challenge. So I'll take questions.
Do you expect the running quarterback, the guy they brought in off the bench?
The last two games they've played both, and so we'll prepare for both. Their point production has gone way up when Summers comes in, and whether they'll name him starter or not, I'm not certain, but we'll prepare for both.
Can you evaluate the defense since the beginning of the year, how they've kind of progressed?
Step by step, we continue to work on leverage and discipline and tackling and assignments and communication, and it's coming along step by step. Point production is about where our points allowed is about where I thought it would be at this point. I'm anxious to see that continue to even move below our 24-point mark, which is where it is now. Most of the time that we're having the ball moved on us right now, it's through communication or lack thereof or assignments and the lack thereof. And so I'm working to make it as simple as possible. The last game plan was the simplest we've had yet, but they played it faster and they played it better. And that was similar to the second half of Michigan.
Can you update Tui Loma, Longy, and Kyle Johnson?
Yeah, I was hopeful that Tui Loma and Johnson would actually play last week. Neither did, and so I've been told probable on both of them. And I'm missing
Harvey.
And so I think he'll he also has a great chance to be back, which will help us if we get. Again, an offensive lineman back, a nose tackle back, and an inside backer, that would be a great boost.
Did you suffer any other injuries like Mitchell Juergens?
There were up to seven different shoulder injuries that are being reclassified based on x-rays, MRIs, and none I've been told as of when we're talking right now have are limiting in terms of season or game or et cetera. And that, again, that was right after the game. So the seven might have got down to four, might have got down to three. But we had quite a few shoulders in the game.
Your defense has been really good on third down this year. That's kind of been a trademark of your good defenses. How does that affect the game?
Man, it allows us to get off the field and manage points. And so, but you don't get to third down unless you can play well on first and second. And we're making inroads on that. I'm pretty comfortable when we get to third that we have answers and we can create confusion and pressure and indecisiveness at the quarterback position, no matter who it is. And so we're getting there more often now, and we're playing better once we're there. And that usually gives us a great chance to keep the points where they need to be.
How does getting past those first and second downs, winning those downs, impact your play calling?
Quite a bit. Most teams, even when it gets down to third and three, if it's third and three or more, the numbers to throw the ball go way, way up. And some teams aren't like that, but it just allows anytime you can be a play caller and have a great idea of at least it's run or pass, your chances of being right go way, way up. And so again, if we can get to third and three or more, then I can be right more and the players can be right more.
Ruffin McNeil took more of that air raid offense with from Texas Tech to ECU. You seeing the same thing with that running quarterback, though?
Yeah, I see. It's interesting because I see similar plans from that origin of offense as the direction we went with Taysom. And so once their more mobile quarterback comes in, there are elements that we defend in practice frequently, which is a great point of reference. And I'm not saying it's identical, but within that scheme, there are certain ways you go when the quarterback is mobile, and they've headed some of the same directions we have.
Were you involved with the East Carolina the series, scheduling the series, or you know how that came about?
I don't remember, Jay, on that one at all, but there were times when they were playing 3-4 where we had staff exchanges. We sent our staff, and they sent their staff here as we were teaching them our version of the 3-4. I think they've gone away from that since. I haven't watched any ECU defense yet today, but Ruffin's a great guy, and so I don't as a long answer to question, I don't remember scheduling it or how that came about. I like this. I like the game, though. They're a good team.
Did you go back and look at the Taki-Taki ejection?
I did.
What'd you see?
Man, it's hard to say. I didn't think it was targeting, just from my personal standpoint. But the explanation I was given in the game was it was called, and then they didn't have a clear view of it, so it had to stand.
What do you have to tell your guys in those? I mean, because they've gotten a couple of those roughing the passers where it just seems like real gray area there. What do you have to tell them?
So we've sent the calls into the head of officials, and the feedback we've given back is we had one on Harvey Longy against Michigan where he actually dove over a blocker and then was reaching out and hit the quarterback below the waist, and the instruction basically was his head has to go off the side and he has to roll and try to get away from him, as well as try to sack him. And so that's hard. And this one, to me, it looked like Sione looks like he did pull up and didn't lead with his head and kind of led with his shoulder. And so when in doubt, go around him. And that goes against everything that I teach as a defensive coach, which is when in doubt, hit him. And so it's kind of forcing this unique way, and clearly I haven't presented it well yet because we're still making those mistakes, and I've got to come to a way to present it more clearly.
Is there an appeals process for that?
Not that I know of.
When Taron Houck was recruited, he wasn't a big-name guy. Do you recall how you ended up getting him?
I do. Really unique story. It was an all-star game in the summer. We had one available scholarship, I think, and he ended up being Alex Caressa's roommate. And Alex was coming to BYU and really liked Taron and started talking to him about it. Taron had a really good game. Alex then tells us, hey, my roommate was really good. We did some investigation, and if I remember right, he was their student body president and played really well in the game. And we thought it was going to be a great fit. Originally, we thought he was an outside receiver, and he's found a nice niche inside as one of our slots and had a nice game.
Was the playbook opened up a little more offensively last week? It seemed like there were some different wrinkles that were put in, and was Tanner getting more comfortable in that sense?
Yeah, I think anytime after you go through a game like we did versus Michigan, you kind of reevaluate a lot of things, if not everything, and then try to say, okay, what does work with what personnel and what can we do, and where might we be able to generate the most points? And so I think that was part of the process that led to that.
Can you talk about the cornerback play?
We're doing a nice job so far of keeping the ball in front of us and very few balls going over the top. A year ago, there was more of that. And so one of the things that Coach Howell has done a nice job of, especially, has worked on the finish of the routes. That means when the ball is thrown. And so not only is it showing in interceptions, but it's showing in very few people are getting behind us. And that's allowing us to play pretty well. So Micah Hanneman has really emerged, but Michael Davis is an improvement also. And Mike Shelton is pushing both of them, which is nice to have, and he plays our nickel spot. But I just think we're making more plays on the ball downfield, and we're in better position to make plays on the ball downfield. And then through the different pressures, we're able to dictate how long the quarterback has to throw it. And so that combination of all that is helping.
He has some ties to the program. How into the mix with Britton Covey were you guys at the time?
I would say we were in the mix. It was not a position of need, nor can I say that we did a fantastic job or even a great job of recruitment. It came to the end, and we did make a clear declaration, and it became clear if we could move a player here or there, we could free up a spot. And basically, you know, so we worked hard, but too little, too late is how I would describe what we did.
Three quarterbacks you mentioned. Is Jordan Prater going to be able to get back into that mix?
So Jordan Prater, there's a couple of options. We like Eric Takanaka as possibly a corner slash safety. We like Jordan Prater the same. And so we'll sort out this week which one will be primarily a safety candidate and which will be primarily a corner candidate. And then we'll use them as we see fit.
Are you on board with Micah Hanneman not fair catching?
So far.
Do you or anyone on your staff have any connections to the ECU staff at all?
Obviously Robert working with Coach McNeil. And then, again, the defensive staff exchange. There's times where they came here and some of our guys went out there.
Anything else?
How do you plan to improve the run game with all the changes in personnel?
I think we made inroads this past week. Having Algie back, adding some consistency, I certainly think helped. And now that Francis Bernard, I really like the way he ran at the end of the game. And I believe his cast comes off. And so any issues we've had about ball security with him, I think, go away now. And so that could be a nice positive. The ultimate thing under all that is consistency. And playing the same guys helps.
Will there be an extra emphasis on field goal kicking this week with two misses?
I think it'll be just the same. Again, I don't know all the exact reasons on the misses, but Trevor's body of work over time has just been killer, so I'm not going to make too big a deal of it, and I don't expect it to continue. I'll just trust him to, and Coach Fasigli and Coach Papinga, our special teams coaches, to address whatever the specific things are, but Trevor, I think he'll be great, and I don't know what led to the couple miscues we had.
You talked about Braden Covey a little bit, but just the receivers tend to be pretty big, and the running backs tend to be the physical type of back. Would this offense be more dynamic if you had other shifty options, shiftier guys that can make people miss?
I think Devon Blackman gives us some of that, and I think Trey Dye gives us some of that. I think Mitch Juergens certainly gives us some of that. And so I think there's existing answers in the program that have done a nice job with that. How frequently they get the ball and how probably has as much to do with it as anything.
Along the offensive line, are you rotating guys less? Because in fall you're rotating seven or eight guys. Is that kind of shifting just five guys every single play?
It is, not only on health but productivity. And so as always, what you think in practice isn't always what you see in the game. And so that number is, again, dwindling based on trustworthiness of assignments and healthy bodies to actually perform.
Last question.
No tight end catches yet this season. Two-part question. A, would they be coming, or B, can we just call Taren Houck a tight end?
You could probably call Taren Houck a tight end and end of story.
Okay.
That's kind of what I count him as. Okay. He doesn't like tight end because it's not as glamorous, but that's why. Let's call him the why. That sounds a little flashier. Yeah, this is why.